Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message. I am Teresa Levite, a member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. Do you have your pencil and paper ready to take notes for today's message? I hope you have a journal that you use for Bible study, prayer, and spiritual growth. It doesn't have to be fancy. A simple notebook will work. If you don't have your pencil and paper ready now, you can listen to this message again on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. Before we begin, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you today, Lord, I pray for your mercy and grace to be poured out on us. Lord, fill us up with your love, mercy, and grace so that it overflows and spills out onto all around us. Lord, help us to be better people. Help us to show your love to those all around us, to everyone we come in contact with, to our neighbors. Give us strength and wisdom to say the right words and do the right things. Lord, your love for us is so great and powerful. Let us soak up that love and let it shine through us. Let us be the lighthouse for all around us. Let us be beacons in the night of pain and suffering. Lord, shine your light of love on all who are hurting. Lord, use us today for your will, for your plans. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our recap or review of previous studies. If you listen to the message each week, then you've heard this part before. But I want to repeat this for our new listeners who may not be as familiar with Peter as others are. We began our study of Peter, the disciple, the student of Jesus, quite a few weeks ago now. 8 or 9, to be exact. Almost exact. We have talked about his enthusiasm, his passion, his impulsiveness, and his leadership. As we continue this study, we will see more evidence of these traits. We know that Peter was a fisherman. Andrew was Peter's brother and introduced him to Jesus. We know Peter was married, but little else. It's possible that his wife traveled with him as he followed Jesus and on later missionary trips. And it is also possible that she had died either before or after Peter left his vocation as a fisherman to follow Jesus. We have learned that Peter was outspoken and had leadership abilities. It may have been due to Peter's influence that Andrew, his brother, and James and John, sons of Zebedee, all of whom were fishermen, chose to follow Jesus too. Peter, along with James and John, were something of an inner circle of the disciples, seeming to spend more time with Jesus than the others. It was Peter, James, and John who were with Jesus when he raised the daughter of Jairus and when he was transfigured on the mountain. Peter is also the disciple that Jesus foretold would deny him 3 times on the night of Jesus' arrest. And Peter did. And it was Peter who later spoke to the crowds on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were added to their number. This series is more about Jesus than about Peter. Everything we know about Peter in the early days of his discipleship, in the days that he and the others were following Jesus and learning from Jesus, everything we know about Peter is framed by Jesus. If you want to know more about Peter, you have to know Jesus. Last week we left off with Peter asking how many times we should forgive those who sin against us. The short answer, as many times as it takes. The long answer is, well, you may want to go back and listen to that part again. Today we are picking up with Jesus telling us to be watchful, to always be on guard and aware of what's going on, whatever that might be. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Watchfulness. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lights burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must always be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Now here's Peter again, asking questions when others wouldn't. The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the Lord puts in charge of his servants to give them food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place among the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. These words have been paraphrased and used in many different stories and speeches. One of the most famous is in John F. Kennedy's speech to the Massachusetts legislature in 1961. But from this statement, we can see many aspects of our lives. Were we blessed with great resources or with little? Were we blessed with great wisdom or with little? Were we blessed with great love or with little? When we look at our resources, what do we have and what are we going to do with it? Are we sharing what we have and are generous? Or are we stingy, tightening our grasp on the little bit we do have? What about our wisdom? Have we been educated and trained? Have you read many books and gained knowledge through training and experience? Have you practiced making wise decisions? Or are you less interested in study and more interested in playing, making quick decisions and living with the consequences? And love. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Or do you love only when it will benefit you? Let's continue now with the rich and the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 19. Verses 16 through 30. Jesus curses a fig tree and clears the temple courts. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of money changers and benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." Those are pretty powerful words. Can you imagine someone coming into your local congregation and calling out the sin that takes place there? You know what I'm talking about. Those little things that ease into the worship service and teachings. It might be something that's just a little too ritualistic. You know, those things done out of habit or according to a schedule, but aren't really part of the service. Or maybe it's something that contradicts Scripture, but it's just the little things and it doesn't matter, right? Well, the little things become bigger things, and they do matter. Verse 18, "The chief priest and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching." Now, the chief priest and the teachers of the law heard this, and they didn't like it at all. Jesus was taking things back to where they should have been all along. He was righting the wrongs. People were listening to him, and the chief priest and teachers of the law feared him. Verse 19, "When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.'" Here is Peter again, speaking out boldly, asking questions, or rather making a statement that others wanted to, but were too afraid. Peter showed his impulsiveness and boldness here. Verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold something against someone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Now, a little time has passed again, and again the disciples begin to question Jesus about the temple and the massive stones and the beautiful building. This is a long passage, and I want you to stay with me. This is where listening again on the website can come in handy. I have trouble following along with these long passages. Being able to listen again can make a huge difference. The destruction of the temple and signs of the end times. Verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings! Do you see these as great buildings?" Jesus replied, "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be the days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will see his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And this is where we're going to end today, with this message to watch. Watch your ways and your tongue. Are you being honest and truthful? Watch who you're spending time with. Are you becoming too familiar with those who sin without trying to show them the way? Watch your spending habits and your saving habits. Watch how you spend your money. Are you giving God the part that He asked back? Are you serving others or just yourself? Are you watching out for our Savior's return? We do not know when Jesus is coming back, but we must be ready. And now, let's close with prayer. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time we have had to study your word today. Lord, please continue to give a greater understanding of your forgiveness to us. Help us appreciate your forgiveness and the price that was paid. Help us to forgive others. Show us how we can forgive instead of holding grudges and anger and hate inside us. Dear Father, I thank you for these blessings that you pour out on us. I thank you for your love and mercy and grace. And yes, Lord, help us to watch for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the point that each week I say, if you have heard anything in this message today that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't want this to become a routine or a ritual for this message, but this is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for anyone to come to you in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. So I will say this again. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart and today, you can do so now. Please pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this prayer with me today, please let someone know. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church, or you can call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our leaders. Thank you for listening to today's message. I hope that this message has become a part of your weekly Bible study. If there is something in this message that speaks to you, please share this with your friends and family because they might benefit from it too. You are invited to join us each Sunday morning at Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. We are located at 1735 South Washington Street in Tilton. If you would like more information or to speak to one of our leaders, call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Our Sunday school program begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service and children's church are at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.